This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
100%. Quiet on offense, loud on defense. Yeah. Let's go.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily. Presented by Mokarem Injury Lawyers.
Mokarem Injury Lawyers, y'all. Hard as hell to say. Easy to dial. 281-222-2222. If you or a loved one is ever injured in an accident, you know exactly who you need to call to find folks over at Mokarem Injury Lawyers. 281-222-2222. Now, again, if you're listening on an AM, FM dial, we greatly appreciate you. I personally listen on the FM HD2 dial in my truck. And when I'm in that little car, which I still have, by the way, I typically use the Odyssey app, I believe. And that's where I want to go with this is I want everybody out there to download the Odyssey app. By the way, if you're on YouTube and Twitch, we greatly appreciate you. Go ahead and hit that chat and let B. Scott know you're out there. You're alive and kicking. We greatly appreciate you listening that way as well. But the Odyssey app, AUDACY, this would be a great time to download that thing. We had the Texans owners on 3 to 3:30 today. You can use that rewind feature. Go back and listen to that. We've also got all of our segments individually podcasted on the Odyssey app, as well as a ton of just podcasts for you. And one of those podcasts we like to highlight here, obviously, is my man T. Mill. We got the big orange wagon. It's Tyler Milner and Patrick Creighton. All things Astros rocking and rolling there. Download the Odyssey app, AUDACY. We got the Astros in action tonight. We got the Texans across town here. Joint practice yesterday, preseason game number 2 tomorrow, noon kickoff. Get there, tailgate like you always do. Have you a great time? Get in the building and let's see if, at least while the starters are on the field, we can't get a little home field advantage rocking and rolling there. Get good and tuned up for the regular season. Boys, I got to we've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun with something that I do pretty often, and I've been warned about this. And I'll be honest with you, I think my father-in-law right now is scathing right now, wanting to call me or text me and reprimand me. Tyler, you know my little gas problem. I ain't talking about breaking wind. I'm talking about gas in my vehicle.
Yeah. I was saying, we all got a little gas problem here or there.
Especially, well, Ron with gas.
Well, I had to drive that Escalade yesterday because that electric vehicle, I didn't have time to stop and charge it ultimately, and I had to do more running around and coming. If I come straight to work and straight home, I know my limit.
Yeah, you know what to expect.
But when you get out moving around and having to do things in other parts of the city and then get here and then get all the way, it ends up being one of those deals where you better have 20, 30 minutes to sit and charge or you're going to be in trouble.
Right.
Well, I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that, so I told the wife, I said, hey, I'm taking that Escalade today, which is cool. She had no problem. We said, all right, cool, no problem. When I left here yesterday, I don't remember, somewhere on 59 right here stuck in traffic, I heard the old ding, 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 ding. And I went.
The fact that you even get to the gas light is like comical to me because I never even let it get to that point.
Well, it gets worse. It's not going to happen anymore for me. Let me explain this. So, I out of sight, out of mind. You know what I mean? This is where I screw up, is I should just immediately take the next exit. Well, I'm like, I'll get it when it's more convenient. You know what I mean? Because I got a couple of, like, if I can stop right here when we leave the station, there's two gas stations I like to hit.
Yeah.
Right? There's one off of an exit out, once I get on 225 right there, that I like to hit. And then there's some out by the house, right? So I'm always like, hey, whichever's next up. You know what I mean? Well, by the time I got to the one that was next up, I forgot. I didn't think about it.
Yeah. Which is always the risk that you run when you try to go to the convenience stores that you know.
You're going to be mad at me, B. Scott. I pull in the garage, and I look down, and I realize, whoa, how did I get here?
Yeah.
This thing is low. So I let it ride. Well, I get up this morning, and I said, hey, babe, just to let you know, that Escalade is super, super low. And she's like, ha, no surprise, right? Smart-ass comments like Tyler, which I deserve. So we're rushing at this point, like we do every time we leave. Got the kids in the car, boom. She leaves. My phone starts blowing up.
Uh-oh. Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
A message from a former New Yorker presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021 and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to streeteasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards and which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
About 3 minutes later.
Not that she's stranded.
stranded.
No,
with
man.
With both babies in the car.
Not the wife with the baby. This with, is
yeah. You done effed up, bro.
Your most precious cargo now, by the way.
I
don't need to tell you.
All joking aside, man, I've apologized 15 times, and I've specifically said I've got. You know, at this point in time, I've got about 3 jobs in my life that I'm really, everything else can, whatever. I got 3 jobs. Sorry, Sports Radio 610. This is outside of your. I gotta lead my family. I gotta provide for my family. So I guess Sports Radio 610 is in there to some degree, right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gotta protect my girls. And this morning, man, I slipped up big time, man. Yeah. And I'm gonna tell you, man. Luckily, I married well. Because I know she wanted to MF me from the time I pulled up with the gas can.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily, I had the gas can in the truck. It was literally already in the truck. So when she hit me up, actually, to be honest with you, I missed her call the first time. So I know that made it even worse. And I got that gas can, and I did 95 miles an hour up 2354 to get to her. My mother had left right before her and was going to with her to my little girl's horse riding lesson.
Yeah.
So my mother had got the babies in her car and took them on to horse riding lessons. So when I pulled up behind the Escalade in the middle, she's in the, I wanted to be like, how the hell are you in the middle lane? You could have turned off anywhere, get off on the shoulder. Yeah. She's in the middle lane, flashers on, and she's standing outside the car. I'm pulling up on this thing and I'm like, and I'm not even the kind of, like, I got to wear this one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not like, oh, hell, what's she going to say? I'm like, whatever she does at this point.
You earned it.
I got to eat it. Yeah. I got to sit there and wear it. Chief, she didn't even speak to me.
I cannot even imagine the looks you were getting, the words you maybe have gotten, whether out loud or in her head.
Yeah.
I can only imagine.
Especially with the girls not being there, like she doesn't have an excuse to not undress you in front of the kids.
I was hoping, I'm glad they weren't because it's obviously dangerous.
Holy sh!
But, so I pulled, now I got this gas can, boys, and I don't have a funnel. And so she's standing off on the side of the road. I got traffic going by me both directions. Again, I'm in the middle lane. Shoo, 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 shoo. And I got this big ass gas can with more gas than you probably ever would need. And I can't get it to go in this damn hole. So I go back over there. I find a piece of, in the console of the truck, I find a piece of hard cardboard. And I bend it enough to get it down in that hole. And I'm, you know, see,
MacGruber.
Hey, MacGyver, bro. Hey.
SNL was MacGruber.
Oh, my bad. I'll be MacGruber. That's more me anyway. I'm over here pouring it. And I'm super stoked about myself figuring this out, you know, and I can feel her.
I'm stoked about myself.
I'm super proud of myself of like, boy, I'm getting this gas in this thing. This is nice. It's all going, because it started out, it was running all down the side.
I was going to say, mind you, gas is probably everywhere at this point.
Well, it was the first time I tried it. That's it was what all I mean. Over, right?
That's what I mean.
So I got this thing, B. Scott, and I got it. It's rolling in there good. I said, come try to start this thing. She just stood there.
You started.
I said, hey. She said, yeah. I said, come try to start this thing, man. I think I got enough gas in it. She never said a word. She walked over there, started that thing, rolled that window down. She said, that's enough. I can get to the gas station.
I can feel the tension.
I said, so I pulled it out. I ain't no more pulled that thing out. She was pulling off. I said, ooh, okay, now what's the next move for you, baby? talking to myself, you know what I mean? Yeah. What's the next move, Dirty? You can't just turn around and go home. Put this thing in there and follow her to the gas station. So that's where I'm at. I'm self-talking, so I follow her to the gas station. I pulled up in there. I said, hey, from across the parking lot. She's back here gassing it up. I said, hey, you need anything from the store? You need some water or anything? She didn't think that was very funny.
Want some Skittles?
I honestly wasn't trying to be funny, B. Scott. I was just trying to help. Well, I come back out and I walk over and I said, babe, I want you to know I'm embarrassed. I'm sorry. And all I can tell you is it won't happen again.
Yeah.
And
that's a lie.
She said.
Well, maybe for her, hey, it's not. It's not. It's a lie for you.
She looked at me. She looked me dead in the face and just straight face, didn't change the tone. She said, I have never been as mad as I am right
now. Ooh. I'm not even going to laugh at that, because when a lady says that is for real.
Yeah.
I said, look, and now I'm self-talking, right? Because I'm trying to. I said, look, baby, and you got every right to be. You got every right to be mad. I'm just telling you, I'm sorry. And I got one job in this world, and I failed today, and it won't happen again. And she said, I was just unbelievably scared with the little girls. And I said, and right now my heart, now she's just ripping.
Like it ripped my nuts.
She's just ripping my heart out of my chest at this point, right? Yeah, I would have been too. I totally get it. And I said before I walked off though, I said, but I did offer to put that gas in that truck before you pulled out.
No! You were almost home. You were almost home.
I did. Before she backed out, I said, babe, you want me to put this? I got some gas in the gas can. It was in my truck. I said, you want me to dump it in there? No, I'm all right.
Because we got to have a point. We cannot just humble ourselves to not have, even if we actually got a point, we got to verbalize it. Just that. Yeah, see, that's the thing that you didn't do. You didn't resist that urge to get that little opinion
well,
in
there. Well, I disagree, B. Scott, because see, and maybe this is where I married well, or maybe I do the marriage thing well. I saved it for the right time.
Yeah.
See, if I'd have pulled up behind her and been like, I told you to let me gas this damn thing up.
Why you let me gas this thing up earlier?
That would not have went off. She may have come across that full lane of traffic and got me. I saved it until she was right at her cracking point, and right after I apologized, and when I said it, she smiled.
Yeah.
She said, I knew you were going to say it. Don't you even think about it. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
I said, all right, baby, be careful out there. I got you.
But see, this is the thing that you know yourself is that, and especially in retrospect, given how things worked out, that the offer of gassing that thing up was not good enough. Right, like
should have been the situation.
Yeah, if you knew well enough to offer it in the first place, you should have just done it. Either 30 minutes before you leave,
no
stayed
doubt.
Up a little extra at night, and hit one of those gas stations just by the house that you're talking about. Like I I've done that a time or two where it's like, okay, I know I'm not going to do this in the morning. I'm either not going to have time or I'm going to forget it's on my mind now. So even though it's 11 o'clock, 11:30, and I prefer to be in the shower or be in the bed at this point, I'm gonna go ahead and get this, even if it ain't but $12 at the gas station.
And I did not purposely make this part of the story because I don't want to make it my screw up any less heartbreaking than it really is.
Yeah.
But my defense of that is when I pulled in, I noticed it. I was like, I should run up there and get this thing gassed up. But I literally have 45 minutes before they go to bed.
Yeah.
And so I went in to spend time with them and put them to bed, and then I should have went and I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And that is where I screwed up. But hey, I failed my girls today for the first time. It broke my heart, and I'm gonna tell you, it took this. I ain't playing with no gas gauges no more, T. If you get in my car,
I want to believe you, Clint.
If you get in my car and the gas lights on, I'll kiss your ass in Town Square to see me. I'll give you $1,000. It ain't happening no more, man. I don't care about me.
Yeah,
I mean, because look, be honest with you. Luckily,
I get that.
Luckily, all of the times that I screwed up and did it, I knew what I needed. I had a tank full in the truck, and I knew what I needed to do to get that gas tank open to get that damn thing. I didn't need to call somebody else to get all that figured out because I have already done it.
Yeah. and a man on the side of the road, or a man sitting in the middle, a grown man like yourself sitting in the middle of the lane, we don't got a whole lot of sympathy for.
Yeah,
we might try to help you out, but we don't have a lot of sympathy for.
Yeah.
A woman with her two babies, small, how's your oldest? Three?
One and a half. Three and a half.
Three and a half. So three and a half and one and a half.
Yep.
Right. So we're talking about toddlers, little girls, and your wife. That's different. That's different, man.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think for you too, Clint, you and Lo as the parents, y'all much more so have the liberty to disrupt their routine just the slightest bit by 10 minutes. Maybe they go to bed 10 minutes later, and y'all can deal with that much more so than you can deal with the danger of them being in the middle of the road that.
And my wife is not one that deals with danger well. Like she's not. You don't play with that. You know what I mean? She ain't. It ain't no joke. It is. She don't play that in her world, much less with her babies. In her own world, she doesn't. So, hey, we all do it, fellas.
Yeah, man. Everybody falls short at some point. I know I have a mini.
Fortunately, I married well, or I may have came in with a black eye today, boys. I mean, I spent some time with a few chicks in my past that would have blackened my eye or would have attempted to. So, luckily, I married well. And we're all good. The babies are safe. Mama's safe. Hopefully, Daddy's not in the doghouse when he gets home. We will find out. All right.
I do love, though, how you've got a story. Always got a story, whether it's electric or gas.
It's unbelievable.
Grown-ass it doesn't matter. Either way.
One way or another. it's going to come to a head with Clint.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know what's more embarrassing, my run out of gas or battery frequency or my inability on a grill like I was talking about with Cal earlier. Those two things right there make me feel like less of a man. And now that I've put my family in harm's way, I feel even lesser of a man. So, yeah. But I'm going to grow from it. It's not going to happen again. And I guarantee that. I guarantee my wife and kids ain't getting in a car that ain't got a damn full tank. I promise you that.
Good man.
We'll make that happen. All right. Fighting for a spot, baby. Fighting for a spot, which is probably what I'm going to be doing in my bed tonight. But I'm talking about here with the Texans. There's a couple of camp battles going on that we got to keep our eyes on leading up to these next couple of preseason games. And they're going to play out right in front of us. They're going to be guys that play consistently throughout these preseason games. And we'll see what B. Scott thinks of those right here at coming up next. Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader.
Rock and roll, meow.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Brandon Scott is in. T. Mills on the ones and twos, baby. You're listening to Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. And it's that time of year, y'all. The NFL preseason is rocking and rolling. These Texans are cranked up. First preseason game number two. Carolina Panthers tomorrow at noon. It's a noon kickoff. Astros tonight, 7:10. Tomorrow at 6:10. Sunday at 1:10. You got Framber Valdez, Jason Alexander, and Christian Javier on the bump in that specific order against the Orioles. And we've got a couple of items, a little house cleaning here. Josh Hader, there's a little news on the Josh Hader front. Josh Hader has a left shoulder capsule sprain, according to the Astros. He's going to not throw for approximately 3 weeks, and then after that, next steps will be determined. So he's going to get 3 days rest. He was on the 15-day IL. That's going to get extended, obviously. And we'll keep you updated on Josh Hader. Also, today's lineup for the Astros: Altuve, Correa, Sanchez, Walker, Diaz, Urias, Trammell, Dubon, and Smith. If you'll notice, there's obviously no Jeremy Pena in the lineup. I thought it was interesting, but you never know if they're just resting guys, you know, randomly or kind of how that works. But apparently Jeremy Pena was scratched for tonight's game versus the Orioles. Jeremy Pena is under the weather, Joe Espada said. He reported to the ballpark today, but is now seeing team doctors to see what's going on with Jeremy Pena, the shortstop. So hopefully that's just a little bug. Hopefully that's something that he can get beyond. And
maybe it's just the poops or something.
That'd be a little bug. Yeah, he'd be rooster tailing around the place.
That falls
under the bug. But, hey, man, talk about that trophy that the Colts built. That's fine. I mean, get it in here one way or another. But the training camp is going on. Texans are rocking and rolling. D'Amico Ryans has said recently he's not worried about that 53-man roster. Cuts have to happen in hell, sooner rather than later, to be honest with you. But D'Amico's not worried about the final cuts. He's more concerned about making sure that day in, day out, his squad is handling their business, and that means competition. And right now, there are several guys that are fighting for a spot. And B. Scott, I know you brought something up in prep here that's pretty interesting. I don't know if it's going to end up happening with this offensive line, but you feel like based on what you've seen, it should happen.
Yeah, I want to be clear on the front end of this. I don't think that this is going to end up happening, but this is just based off of a combination of reading the tea leaves and following the reporting from the beginning of camp. Hell, even going back to mini camp, if we're being honest about it, if we're going back to OTAs, if we're being honest about it, but the way things have played out at camp, and then from watching yesterday, Clint, we were all there together at the Texans joint practice with the Panthers yesterday. And just from observing it and looking at Blake Fisher, honestly, man, I feel like Blake Fisher's at a point to where if we're just basing it off of performance and what we're seeing right now, I feel like he should be competing with Austin Deculus for a spot. Like that far down the depth chart. When we're talking about guys that's not starters, and not even necessarily your swing tackle, but a guy that might be inactive on a given week or any week or all the weeks, might be on your practice squad, somebody that you got basically stashed away in some kind of break the glass in case of emergency type of situation. That's what Austin Deculus's role in Lydon life has been ever since they drafted him several years back, and he's left and come back and all of that. But he's somebody that has steadily gotten better throughout the years. He's somebody that offers you, I think, a limited skill set from a physical standpoint, but has all like the right attitude and right makeup and sort of the, you know, just the attitude that you want your offensive line's identity to be made of. He's got all of those things and has improved as a player. Whereas I look at Blake Fisher as somebody who just has so much work to do to become that consistent football player that if I'm looking at it, and if you don't tell me any of the context, don't let me know that Austin Deculus is a late round pick from a few years ago who bounces around on the team, who's on the team sometimes and is not on the team sometimes, and that Blake Fisher is the second round pick who's only going into his second year. Don't give me that information and don't give me that context and just tell me, hey, look at the guys out there based off of what they're doing and how they look. Those would be two guys that would be competing for a roster spot. Now, to be clear again, they are not. I think Blake Fisher is going to more than likely be on this team and certainly has a much better chance of making the team than Austin Deculus. But based off of performance and what I've seen, those are two guys that should be in a similar conversation of fighting for that roster spot.
What do you think? What do you think happened here? Because I mean, I know I'm not crazy. I think he's Deculus.
Fisher.
Yeah, Blake Fisher. I by no means was excited about him having to play tackle this year, but I thought, based on what we saw last year, that he had a chance to at least be a guy that kept you from having to play Titus Howard at tackle. Like, I was okay coming into training camp with the thought of, like, Blake Fisher being your right tackle. You can help that guy. He survived last year. I didn't think – I watched the film as close as anybody, and sure, it was a mess on all fronts with anybody not named Laremy Tunsil. But there was never a moment where I looked at the tape and was like, this damn Blake Fisher's a problem.
Right.
You know, it was more Shaq Mason, and it was interior offensive line play. That, to me, that was more the problem than the tackle.
And even when he was a problem, it wasn't like this guy doesn't have a future.
It wasn't glaring, right. Yeah. So what do you think happened? I mean, it's wild to me how he at this point appears to your point, has regressed to a point that he should be fighting for his job with Austin Deculus when he was starting in a playoff game freaking 6 months ago.
Yeah, so I think like in
not even 6 months.
Yeah, it hadn't even been that long. Like, I think in an ideal world, based off of how they drafted over the last few years, think about this, Clint. They've drafted an offensive lineman in the second round of the draft in the last 3 years. And out of the three of those guys, it only looks like one of them, and that's the one that hasn't even played yet, the right. Rookie. It only looks like one of them is even competing for a starting job, right? The other two guys are either second string or, in Blake Fisher's case, not even, because when they want to go to their alternate tackle situation, the answer is bumping out the guard to tackle and then moving the right tackle to the left side. So he's not even in a swing tackle situation. To your question, what do I think happened? I go back to D'Amico Ryans at OTAs. This was a quote from D'Amico Ryans on June 3rd, Clint. We don't have the audio clip, but I was able to pull the transcript because I was thinking about a very similar question on a similar vein. What is the deal with Blake Fisher? Why has the development and progression not been there? This is the thing that they've been working on with Blake Fisher, and this was D'Amico Ryans on June 3rd. It's pad level, man. Like, we asked him about Blake Fisher and what he needed to work on in the offseason, and this was D'Amico Ryans on the 3rd of June. Blake has been dialed in. Blake is doing a good job. He's getting to work in at left tackle, right tackle. The thing we're working on with Blake is pad level. Can he work with good pad level, work with good knee bend, and be in a great position to protect? That's been the challenge for him, and we're continuing to challenge him on that, and he's been doing a really good job of improving daily. Now, that was D'Amico Ryans in June saying that he's improving daily. I'm not saying that he hasn't improved at all, but whatever level of improvement that there is, it ain't improved enough. It's not good enough. I mean, he's slow off the ball in the run game, looks a little skinny, kind of a little bit frail to be an offensive lineman. And then just in the pass game, it's not good enough. It's not all bad. It's just not good enough to where you look at him as somebody, or at least I look at him, I speak for myself, as somebody that should be competing with somebody at the bottom of the roster.
Yeah, look, it wouldn't have shocked me one bit if he struggled, and you know, this is a guy that, hey, Nick Caley, man, you got to really give some help.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
To that right side where Blake Fisher is. And because all the things, I knew he was underdeveloped. I mean, he's not as big. You standing next to the rest of the offensive line, he's clearly not, either he's not as physically gifted or he's underdeveloped. Either way it goes. You can tell he's not one of those bigger bodied guys, and it's about length and speed. If you'd have told me struggles, got to help him, maybe the weak link in an offensive line that's improved, I'd say, all right, yeah, that sounds about right. To be so bad to where they've got to abort the mission of Tytus Howard inside to solve your interior O-line problems and play Tytus Howard at right tackle, you got to be awful.
Yeah.
Like, he has had to be awful for that to happen. So that I did not see coming. Yeah. Bad, need help, be the weak link, cool, all the above. So bad you got to call Tytus Howard from guard to back to tackle? That is a tough pill to swallow right there. John Metchie, wide receiver, versus Justin Watson, wide receiver, I think is another roster competition there. I had the wide receiver room. When I went home last night, I sat down and thought about this for a while. It's not John Metchie and Hutch and Berrios. To me, it's John Metchie, Justin Watson. How do those guys match up here? Miles Bryant versus Rush Yeast. I don't know if that's as much a roster as it is a play-in time situation at that safety position. And then the other question is, where does Jalen Mills, the new safety they signed, veteran safety, where does he end up fitting in long-term? Is he a guy like, just an older player that may or may not make the team and ultimately never see, or is he a guy that they push out there and he actually helps his team sooner rather than later? We'll see down the road. All right, we got B. Scott did not get a chance to get on air yesterday with his joint practice takeaways. Big picture, I'm giving him three chances, three takeaways from joint practice, Texans, Carolina Panthers yesterday. What are they? B. Scott will give them to us next.
Anybody in here acting like no bitches?
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
B. Scott in for Ron the Show. Hughley, Clint Sterner in the building, but not in studio. But I got you. We tease heading into this segment. Three thoughts coming off of the practice yesterday. Of course, the Texans have a game on Saturday against the Carolina Panthers. Ahead of that, they had a joint practice yesterday, and I didn't get a chance to share this with you guys when I had a quick audible right before the show started. Didn't get to
Omaha.
Yeah, had to get you to Omaha. Didn't have a chance to really get these thoughts in. But there was something that I observed at practice, T-Mill, that really, really got me thinking about roster cuts, about roles, and just about the overall team itself. And that was watching Braxton Berrios make plays. Clint Sterner and I were talking about this earlier in the show, about Braxton Berrios just being a guy that adds a very specific element to the offense. And I think personally that this is going to be the guy that's going to be their kick returner. Like, I think Braxton Berrios is going to be the Texans kick returner. And I think that that Jalen Knoll is going to be their punt returner. And so if that's the case, okay, where does that leave Damian Pierce in the pecking order? And mind you, we're watching with Damian Pierce on the sidelines with a backpack and his slides on. He's not even dressed, right? The only time he's even been dressed was for a walkthrough, I believe, last week at the Greenbrier. And so the point of that, of me bringing that up, is Damian Pierce, it seems like, is going to have to make this team for whatever it is he can offer them at the running back position, right? Like, it's not going to be, and I think y'all talked about this, like, is he just going to be a forever kick returner now? Like, is that going to be his new role, as at least for the Texans, as it stands on this team? And I don't feel like that's going to be the case this year, because they found the guy that I think that they like more, somebody that's more accomplished in that role. I don't think we talk about this a lot, but Braxton Berrios was an All-Pro as a returner several years back. So, like, he's a legit accomplished special teams guy, as opposed to kind of finding a role for Damian Pierce and just fitting him into that role because he had kind of lost favor at running back. So it really made me think about, okay, what is this running back room going to look like, and where does Damian Pierce factor into it? And for that matter, all of these running backs at the top end of it that you think about, from Nick Chubb, or I'm sorry, starting with Joe Mixon, to Nick Chubb and Damian Pierce, you know who the top three running backs should be on this team, but all three of them have a significant either injury concern or question, or a performance question in the case of Damian Pierce. Like, it's both performance and injury. I like, either one or the other is going on with him. So it really just got me thinking, like, we think about guys competing within their own position group, but in some ways you got to look across positions and figure, okay, how does that leave the next guy as the odd man out? If that's not the other thing that he does anymore, if kick returner is not the other, if he's the backup kick returner, okay, that means he needs to be, at least if he's going to be the second back, he needs to at least actually be the second back, not Joe Mixon and the Pips, right? Joe Mixon and let's just throw out Dario Gumbawale and J.J. Taylor and Damian Pierce, and he's just in the mix of the guys. Like, he has to have a much more clearly defined role in the running back room if he even makes sense on this team. And that is one of the major things that stood out to me from watching camp and kind of just realizing the impact that I'm expecting Braxton Berrios to have on this team.
Well, Braxton Berrios, you and I have the same from a takeaway perspective of a joint practice, and I couple it with last week's game as well. You know, Braxton Berrios is on both of our short list of if the top three takeaways from joint practice. I just see the ball always finds him, and when it finds him, it seems to be in the red zone or around the end zone. We've seen that multiple times now. The further we get into camp, the more ramped up we get joint practices or preseason games, all of a sudden the veteran Braxton Berrios, the weapon, is showing up and showing out. Now, you've got it on a running back. By the way, on the point you were making about Braxton Berrios and the special team dynamic affecting Damian Pierce and his special team dynamic, also in that running back room, I don't think we're giving this enough run. British Brooks.
Yeah.
I heard maybe the guys earlier, maybe it was you, but the guys earlier, I think, were talking about British Brooks and the fullback role and him and the Jakob kid that's done really good.
Yeah, Jakob Johnson.
Yeah.
That was in the loop because I heard the same segment.
Well, yep. And that's fine. British Brooks, you know, if he can play special teams and deliver blows the way we saw him last week.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you're looking at Damian Pierce going, can you do those things? Because I'm not saying that British Brooks is the guy that's going to get run at the running back position, but I tell you what, I'd like to see more of it over the next 2 weeks.
Well, the issue though with that, I would just say the issue with British Brooks is that he just hadn't had the opportunity. He's somebody that they liked last year, wanted to play at fullback, and then he got injured.
Yeah.
Right? So that's somebody that's kind of always been in the background of their interest, somebody that they've always been interested in. And then, as we saw in that game, like what you're talking about, the hit that he delivered, he's a multidimensional guy, right? Like he could be your fullback. He's obviously a running back by trade, but can also deliver hits, right? He's a more of a complete football player, if you will.
Well, he appeared to last week on a fourth down be a natural catcher of the football. You look at last year's preseason when he did get some run, and he him and John Metchie ended the season with exclamation points preseason. with exclamation points and prove that they can play their respective position, I think bought themselves some more time.
Yeah.
The point is just don't leave him out of the conversation of can do multiple things on special teams and also happens to play running back. So it's not just Damian Pierce, and he, maybe he's not the return guy, and Braxton Berrios is, which I agree with, by the way, but it's also British Brooks, and maybe he's more a better overall special teams guy than one of the other running backs, and he makes – because British Brooks is a better special teams guy than Jordan, Damian Pierce, if Damian Pierce isn't returning.
Yep.
You know, definitely J.J. Taylor. Yep. So you get – that's going to be a conversation as well.
Yeah, and so – and just from a bigger picture standpoint on the running back room, it's a weird place to be in when you're this far in the training camp, second game into the preseason – and you don't know who the locks are at the running back position outside of Joe Mixon, a guy that you haven't seen all offseason.
Right.
And Dari Ogunbowale, who you know is really more so there for his special teams prowess and overall reliability as a professional, but not so much as, hey, we love this guy at running back per se.
Wait, I thought I heard this earlier, but now I know I heard it because you just said it again. You don't think Nick Chubb's a lock?
No, man, I don't. I don't think that he's a lock. I don't think that he's based off of camp. I think he's a lot, and this goes back to your earlier point of, am I relying too much on the Nick Chubb name? I think that if he's a lock, it's really just based off of the fact that he's Nick Chubb, which I'm actually okay with because I understand who Nick Chubb is.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to explain that to me. I'm just going based off of what we've seen, and you know, and the fact that he was out for a little bit. There's been a little bit of injury here and there, and he's already dealing with injury, and it just has not. It has not been obvious and apparent of why it is. Like the thing I did earlier, drop me out of the sky in the practice and don't give me the context of who Nick Chubb is. That's not somebody that's just an obvious, clear, this person is going to make the team. Now maybe he is because he's Nick Chubb and they like him. And you understand why. But that's not as clear as day to me.
Yeah, if Joe Mixon were out there, I may be able to lean into it. But
Joe Mixon.
Yeah, me too. But for me... One, I think Nick Chubb is stylistically not a guy that's going to jump off the practice field, especially the way that you practice in 2025 in training camp. Number one, I don't think you're ever going to see anything out of him at camp that's like at practice. It's like, yeah, we got to have this guy. But the part of Nick Chubb that I think right now is absolutely irreplaceable is simply the veteran that you can trust in pass protection, the veteran that you can trust to not turn the ball over. I just think, and I know Dari Ogunbowale is ultimately that reserve running back that can do those things, but Nick Chubb is a different tier than that.
Yeah.
So I think that part of him makes him untouchable at this point in time. And I don't even know if I could get there if that wasn't the case, but
I think you're talking about the Nick Chubb as we know and understand him.
Even a backup, I think that's, even if he's a 400 or 500 yard guy that is a backup guy that's just spelling Joe Mixon, like Jordan, from a trust perspective,
yeah,
Jordan's not doing that.
No,
and,
not
and
at
you,
all.
And there's no way you're going into the year and Dari Ogunbowale is in the plans at running back.
No, but see, I think that Woody Marks is going to make the team. No,
okay.
I think that, and so it does come down to a question for me, Clint, of, and this is a tough thing to ask, especially given where Damian Pierce is and the fact that we're talking about Nick Chubb here, okay?
Right.
But who is a better football player right now, Nick Chubb or Damian Pierce? You don't have to sell me on Nick Chubb the career, but I'm talking about right now going into the 2025 season. On August 15th, 2025, the year of our Lord, who is the better football player, Nick Chubb or Damian Pierce? I don't have a clear-cut answer for you because one guy has been hurt for most of the time and the other guy is trying to work his way back from injury.
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, but I can tell you what I would bet on.
Nick Chubb.
Absolutely. 10 out of 10 times.
That's fair. But I think that Damian Pierce, if he's right, has an argument.
Yeah.
As a younger player and as somebody that we have seen be good
best
before.
The best version of Damian Pierce is that, could that be comparable to or better than
the worst,
whatever version. I doubt Nick's a virgin, but whatever version of Nick we get in 12, that could be possible. But I think it's, you take Nick out of the deal, I just don't know what Damian Pierce has got in the tank. I don't. There's too much for me. I'm confused.
Yeah,
that's a good way to put it. I'm
confusing.
Completely lost with. I would have bet $1,000 that Damian Pierce would be a one or two running back, 1A, 1B running back in, on an NFL team for 10 years after what we watched in that, what was that, Lovie Smith or was it Culley Day? But
yeah, that was Lovie Smith.
I would have bet a huge amount of money. Like, whatever went on last year.
It's really about the 69.
And the year before that, like, I got to believe it's bigger than football, and I'm lost. But anyway, we'll get there. We got 5 o'clock fire coming up next right here on Sports Radio 610.